ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम नाइन्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड किंग ययाति रिगेन्स हिज यूथ टेक्स्ट 45। इति प्रमोदिता पुरुहु प्रत्याघ्रजरां पितुः सोऽपि तद्वयस कामान् यथावज्जुजुषे नृपा। ट्रांसलेशन। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, इन दिस वे ओ महाराज परीक्षित, द सन नेम्ड पुरु वॉज वेरी प्लीज टू एक्सेप्ट द ओल्ड एज ऑफ हिज फादर ययाति, who took the youth of his son and enjoyed this material world as he required. So this verse does not have purport. So we'll go on reading the following verses. The translation to text 46. Thereafter, King ययाति became the ruler of the entire world, consisting of 7 islands, and ruled the citizens exactly like a father. Because he had taken the youth of his son, his senses were unimpaired, and he enjoyed as much material happiness as he desired. Text 47. In secluded places, engaging her mind, words, body, and various paraphernalia, Devyani, the dear wife of Maharaj ययाति, always brought her husband the greatest possible transcendental bliss. Text 48. King ययाति performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gifts to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, who is the reservoir of all the demigods and the object of all Vedic knowledge. Text 49. The Supreme Lord Vasudev, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading, like the sky that holds clouds. And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord Vishnu and varieties are no longer manifested. Purport. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanvan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, He who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is one with the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everything is in him in the beginning, and at the end all manifestations enter into him. He is situated in everyone's heart, sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishtah, and from him everything has emanated, janmadi yataha. All material manifestations, however, are temporary. The word swapna means dreams, maya means illusion, and manoratha means mental creations. Dreams, illusions, and mental creations are temporary. Similarly, all material creation is temporary, but Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the eternal absolute truth. So, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, this is an emergency class. I was not scheduled. So, some or the other, I have not prepared, but whatever little bit I have read here and there, I'll just try to speak for my own purification. So, we are nearly concluding this chapter of King ययाति regaining his youth. So yesterday we saw that how Puru, the son of Maharaj ययाति, agrees to give his youth to his father so that his father can enjoy and take charge of the world. That is the biggest sacrifice which Puru does. And we'll see in future that what the result of sacrifice. The result of that sacrifice of Puru is that the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, descends in the dynasty of Puru. That is a result of sacrifice. But that is a different subject matter. So, in today's, till the 4 verses which we read today, it shows that how, after regaining youth from his son, Maharaj ययाति, who was completely immersed in one way, practically in sense gratification, and because of, as a result of that sense gratification only, he was cursed by his father-in-law, Shukracharya, to lose all his youth. But then some or the other, because that propensity to enjoy, to gratify senses was still there in his heart, he in one sense became so shameless actually to ask a youth from his son. It was their, his son were supposed to, they were in their prime age of their life for their enjoyment. It was their time to enjoy. But here is Maharaj Yayati who begs his son to please give your youth to me so that I can enjoy. But Puru is the most exemplary son. He did not say, "Father, what is the use? Your time has gone now. It is my time now. Let me enjoy. Why do you want the youth now? Enough of your enjoyment." He did not ask any such or pass any such statement. He simply accepted his father's proposal and exchanged his youth. And after that, after gaining the youth, Maharaj Yayati ruled over all the planters, all the islands. And his verses say that he took care of his citizens like a father takes care of his children. But along with that, and even this verse, text 48 also says that he performed all sacrifices. All sacrifices, served the brahmanas, gave gifts, gave in charity so many gifts to them, understanding that if I serve them, Supreme Lord Hari will be pleased. But in spite of doing all these things, that propensity to enjoy was not gone. He was still there. And we'll see in the future verses, the last concluding verses, that even though he had all facilities to enjoy, he enjoyed for thousands of years, but still he was unpleased. So this is the nature of devotional service, which is mixed with the propensity to enjoy. So you are neither of this place nor of that place. Na ghar ka na ghat ka. So if you are at one place, be fixed at one place. If you think that I will serve the Lord, but at the same time try to enjoy also, then the only result is disappointment. And one cannot be pleased in any way, neither in material life nor in spiritual life. But here in this purport to this verse 49, Prabhupada begins by stating that Bahunam Janmanam, and he quotes this verse from the 7th chapter, 19th verse, that after many, many births, one who is in knowledge comes unto me, surrender unto me, knowing to me the cause of all causes. Vasudevam Sarvamiti. So that also, when does this Sarvamiti stage comes? After Bahunam Janmanamante. So practically, Maharaj Yayati also initially never performed any devotional service. But after gaining youth, even though that enjoyment was going on side by side, but still devotional service to the Lord was going on, and that has begun. So after many, many times, or after spending a lot of time in sense gratification, Maharaj Yayati is now on the stage of performing devotional service, at least beginning to perform devotional service. So we see that a person cannot come to the platform of devotional service unless and until he is really frustrated out of it. One of the essential principles, that unless and until you are finished of it, that enough of it, you cannot think of beginning devotional life. And this we see in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, wherein the beautiful pastime of Kardam Muni and Devoti is mentioned. So now we know that Kardam Muni was a great sage, great mystic sage, a person who has been directly blessed by the Supreme Lord and also by Lord Brahma. And when the daughter of Swayambhu Manu, Devahuti, is offered to him, he accepts because he also had a desire to get married and the Lord has special plans through him. So Devahuti came from a very high dynasty, daughter of Swayambhu Manu, well-cultured, most beautiful lady. But however cultured a person may be, when that person gets some power, some facilities, there is always a tendency to incline towards sense gratification. And that was the condition of Devahuti. So Devahuti, by her tapasya, by her service attitude to her husband, she got so much material and spiritual benedictions. But what did she utilize for? Only for her pleasure. Only for her sense gratification. And Kardam Muni had practically created the entire aerial mansion, all best of the facilities for their sense pleasure. And after enjoying for thousands of years, after begetting 9 daughters, Kardam Muni, as per his promise, was about to leave. And Devahuti then realized that I had this opportunity to be with a person who's so advanced, a person who can take me from this material entanglement, can get me out of this and take me to the spiritual, back home, back to Godhead. But what did I do? I simply neglected his association, or used his association only for my sense pleasure, not for my spiritual upliftment. And then she comes to a level where she realizes that she prays to the Lord, that how the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord Hari, has, which is insurmountable, has solidly cheated her. This beautiful prayer says, how I have been cheated solidly, not liquidly or something like that, solidly, she's saying, practically without any scope for any other thing, from all directions she has been cheated. And that is her repentance, that I had this opportunity. So many times we have opportunity to be with the Vaishnavas, to have opportunities to advance. But what is the general tendency? General tendency is to seek material benedictions from those persons and to make our life more comfortable based on the powers which that great person is having, rather than trying to work out for our spiritual advancement. We try to make all arrangements so that we can be satisfied and be in the comfort zone. Devoti's condition was like that. But then she repented that I've been cheated. And then she says to Kardamuni that now you are going. What about my liberation? What about my spiritual life? And then Kardamuni, at her request, stays for some more time and gives her a son who is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapildev. And when then Kapildev, when after that when Kardamuni leaves, Mother Devahuti, realizing her fallen state or miserable condition, in the most repentable situation, she comes and approaches Lord Kapila for spiritual upliftment. And then she comes and prays. And what is a prayer? This is the prayers which every devotee, at least serious about, should meditate on. This is, the prayers are coming out of her humble heart. What she's saying? Devahutir uvacha nirvinna nitaram bhumam asat indriya tarshanat yena sambhavaya manena prapannandham tamaprabho. That, my dear son, O Supreme Lord, I am very sick of the disturbances caused by my material senses. A person has to come to the level where he really feels sick. And these prayers are not just coming out from the lips. These are the prayers which are coming out deep from our heart. I am very sick of the disturbances caused by my material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. So this is the result of engagement in sense gratification. Sense gratification, no doubt, can give you some pleasure. But what is the end result? That very act of sense gratification puts you into the deepest region of ignorance. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in this purport that unless one is tired of material sense gratification, there is no opportunity to hear the transcendental messages from a person like Lord Kapildev. So any devotee who wants to advance, unless and until he comes to a platform of becoming disgusted from this act of sense gratification, that desire to hear about the glorious narrations and pastimes of the Lord are not going to arise. One has to say, no, enough of it. Now I want to give those up. And as soon as that point comes, that I don't want anything more now, enough of it, from that point onwards, the attraction for hearing, the attraction for chanting begins in the heart of every devotee. And then she prays that your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which by your mercy only I have attained after many, many births. After many, many births, I have attained this. Not out of my own endeavor, not out of my own feeling of humility. No. It is not that because I am humble, you are giving your mercy. No, my dear Lord. It is out of only your causeless mercy that you are bestowing. You have given me this eye, that vision, to see the reality, to distinguish the reality from falsehood. All those things. And when the devotee comes to this level, then his devotional service begins. When the Lord bestows his devotion, his mercy, or when the devotees bestow their mercy, he begins to perform his devotional service. And then gradually he proceeds ahead towards reaching a platform which Krishna speaks, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Soshati na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhakti Labate Param. So in this verse, the purport to this verse, Prabhupada says that unless and until a person comes to his Brahma Bhuta stage, devotional service does not begin. So from the time of surrendering, from the time of accepting one's fallen state to the point of coming to the Brahma Bhuta stage, it may appear that one is performing devotional service, but that is not devotional service. That is simply a phase of one's own purification, a phase of realizing one's own self, one's own insignificant self, and the position of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it's called Brahma Bhuta stage, where you realize who you are. You are a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is the origin of you. He's a fountainhead of you. And when you begin, when you come to that Brahma Bhuta stage where you are unaffected by everything that happens in this material world, na soshati, na kangshati, then devotional service, actual devotional service begins. But even that phase is also not actual devotional service. So in this purport to this verse of Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Prabhupada makes one very important point in the beginning only. He says that in the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. So therefore, when I say that even that phase is not devotional service, or to properly present it, is not pure devotional service, what does that mean? Because that means that even though a person is at the Brahma Bhuta stage, he has understood that he is a part and parcel of Krishna, he is a spirit soul. But that surrender, and that surrender which is the primary symptom of devotional service, has not still come in the heart of that devotee. And till the time that surrender does not come, devotional service does not actually begin. It is simply a phase of purification. And what all things we do after that is simply an act of purification. But Maya, it may appear that yes, now I'm free from Maya because I'm in the association of devotees, I'm reading the Shastras, I am chanting, I'm doing this, I'm doing so many activities. Now I'm protected from Maya. But Maya does not spare. As Prabhupada says, what is the last snare of Maya? To make one feel that I am the Lord. That is the last snare of Maya. And therefore, we'll see so many people outside. And even what to speak of outside, not to speak of outside, even we as devotees, initially when we come, there is always a mood of humility. But over a period of time, when you gain some powers, when you gain some abilities, when you have some influence, what happens? The general tendency is you start imitating like Krishna. Why? Because you have some controllership. And who's the original controller? He's Krishna. People are there to do whatever you want. You have so much controllership. You can read the Shastras, you can quote the Shastras, you can speak, you can dance, you can sing, everything at your fingertips. And then Maya acts from that point. That you see, you are the controller. You have so many things. You may not be a big controller like Krishna, but still you are a controller. But the point is, externally, you are still looking like a devotee. Still looking like a devotee, and people worship you as a pure devotee. But that is not the sign of a pure devotee. Or that is not the basis on which one can decide or judge that who is a pure devotee and who is not a pure devotee. So we'll come back to this point. We'll just see one beautiful small little pastime which comes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains this point very nicely. It is not just something we are speaking, it is proper Shastric reference. And we'll come to the conclusion also afterwards, after correlating these two pastimes. So here in this Antalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami very beautifully explains in this chapter 13th of Antalila, where he begins to explain. This is the only place where Kaviraj Goswami is, or we hear about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So we know that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is a son of very dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first personality whom Mahaprabhu had actually met and whom Mahaprabhu gave the holy name even before taking sannyas. So that is Tapan Mishra. So Tapan Mishra's son is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was on his way to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they are staying in Varanasi. And when Mahaprabhu had been there, he was small. And because he had so much intense desire to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? He gave up all his job, all his occupations, all his duties, and was proceeding towards Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kashi haite chalila teno gaudapata diya sangha sevaka chale tenu jhali vahiya. So because he was a brahmana and he had a lot of luggage also, so he was going towards Gaudadesh, towards Jagannath Puri. But he was not alone. He had one servant who was there to carry his bag. So the servant was carrying the bag, but on the way, when he was walking, he meets one personality, and about whom we are going to discuss. Very short, few verses are there, but very, very instructive and very powerful. Pate thare milila vishwas ramadas, vishwas kahara kaista teno rajar vishwas. In Bengal, he met Ramdas Vishwas, who belonged to the Kayastha caste. He was one of the king's secretaries. So Vishwasa, Prabhupada translated as secretary. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that in those times, only those who were from this Kayastha family, they were taking this job of being the secretaries. So Kayastha is a low class. According to society, in the social order, they come from a very low class. And this Ramdas Vishwas, who was he? Kaviraj Goswami explained, and it's very essential to understand this personality very nicely. Then we can come to the conclusion of today's point, which I want to make. Kaviraj Goswami explains in 5-6 verses that who this personality is. Very beautiful verses. He says, Sarva Shastra Praveena, Sarva Shastra Praveena, Kavya Prakash Adhyapak, Parama Vaishnava Raghunath Upasak. So in these 4 points, Kaviraj Goswami mentions, who is Ramdas Vishwas? He is Sarva Shastra Praveena. He is expert in all the Vedic literatures. This is the first point. There is no Vedic literature in which he does not have any expertise. And his expertise is so much, he is so much expert, that he has even accepted the post of a teacher. Kavya Prakash Adhyapak, he's a professor. So a person may be expert, but to teach that is still more expertise. So he is Sarva Shastra Praveena, he is Kavya Prakash Adhyapak, and top of that, okay, these above two qualities can be understood, okay, these are material qualities, but he does not just have material qualities. Who is he? Parama Vaishnav. Kaviraj Goswami calls him Parama Vaishnav. Why? Because he was Raghunath Upasak. He was a worshipper of Lord Ramchandra. So all these qualities, when we hear, and when we hear that here is a person who has all these qualities, what is the general conclusion that we make? Yes, here is advanced devotee. And when Kaviraj, personality like Kaviraj Goswami is calling him as a Param Vaishnav, who can counteract, or who can defeat, or who can negate the words of Kaviraj Goswami? And not only this, what was making him a Param Vaishnav? Ashta Prahara Ramanama Japena Ratri Dine. Ashta Prahar, one prahar is 3 hours. And Ashta Prahar means 8 into 3, 24 hours. Practically 24 hours, Ashta Prahara Ramanama Japena Dine Ratri. Whole day and whole night, 24/7 into 365, he was simply chanting the holy names of Lord Ram. That's why Kaviraj Goswami calls him Param Vaishnav. And not only that, Sarvatyaji Chalila Jagannatha Darshan. And he gave up everything with a desire to see Lord Jagannath. And therefore he was also on the path towards Jagannath Puri. And he accompanied Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Is it not all these qualities which every sincere devotee tries to aspire for? At least forget 24 hour Ashtaprahar. Even if 50% of the Ashtaprahar, sorry, one prahar, 1.5 hour if you can chant properly, that will be a success of our life. Continuously. And what to speak of Ratri Dine, if you can, morning 2 hours if you can chant, both ho gaya. We can't do it in 24 hours. But here is this personality, 24 hours is chanting the names of Lord Ram. And not only that, when both of them were going together, Raghunathe Bhattera Sane Pate Milila Pathe Milila Bhattera Jhali Mate Kori Vahiya Chalila. When both of them were going together, what did this Ramdas Vishwas do? He was carrying the luggage. Even though Raghunath Bhatta had a servant to carry the luggage, he used to take the bag and carry on his head. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami used to feel very embarrassed that, my dear friend, what are you doing? Why are you carrying my luggage? It is not befitting you. Don't do that. He was feeling very embarrassed. And in that situation, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was telling, please don't do it. Tumi bhala loka. He's saying, Tumi bhala loka pandita mahabhagavate sevana kariba sukhe chalam orasate. What is Raghunath Bhatta? Because he also identified, you are not an ordinary person. Who are you? You are a Tumi bhala loka. You are a very great person. You are a very nice person. Pandita mahabhagavate. You are a pandit. You are a mahabhagavat. So therefore, please don't do all these things. You can just give me your association and be with me. Bas. Don't embarrass me by doing all that. But what is Ramdas' response? One more quality which a devotee aspires for. Ramadasa kaheyami shudra adham. Calling himself a shudra and adham. Lowly of all shudras. This is what we see all our great acharyas. Guru Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, when they are coming before the Lord, this is what their prayers are. And Ramdas Vishwas is exactly praying the same way. Ami shudra adham. Brahmanera seva ei mora nija dharma. That serving the brahmanas is only my nija dharma. So practically, he's like the servant of the servants. He's understanding the philosophy very nicely. In this way, both of them were going together. And top of that, he tells, and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami says, please don't do it. How does he convince Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? Sankoch na karo tumi ami tomar das. Sankoch na karo. Please don't hesitate. Please don't feel embarrassed. Accept me. Accept me as your servant. Ami tomar das. Sankoch na karo tumi ami tomar das. Tomara seva karila hoy hridaya ullas. Only by serving you can I my heart experience jubilation. This is a perfect symptom of a Vaishnava. A person who finds pleasure in serving the devotees. This is what we hear. Eta boli jhali vahena korena sevane raghunathera taraka mantra japena ratri dine. In this way, he used to carry the luggage of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and continuously chant the holy names of Lord Ram day and night. And not only that, he used to even massage the feet of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Personal service also. Because thinking that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was tired, so he used to massage the feet of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So in this way, both of them, they come to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Raghunath Bhatta comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately offers obeisances. Danda pranama kori bhatta padila charane prabhu Raghunath jani kaila alingane. Mahaprabhu understood, yes, here is my dear devotee, here is my dear disciple, Raghunath Bhatta, who has come all the way to see me. And immediately he embraced him. Mishra ara shekharera dandavata janaila Mahaprabhu tara sabar varta puchila. And Raghunath Bhatta not only offered obeisances from himself, on behalf of his father and Chandrasekhar Acharya, he offered obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu then inquires that means about their well-being. In this way, Mahaprabhu glorifies Raghunath Bhatta Goswami on his arrival to Jagannath Puri, saying that Bala Hoila Aila Dekha Kamala Lochan. It is very nice that you have come. Now you should go and see Kamala Lochan, the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath. And after doing that, after taking darshan, you should come and take prasad with me. So, and then he tells other devotees, Govinda and other servants, secretaries, that please arrange for a place for Raghunath Bhatta to stay. So after that, Raghunath Bhatta stays in Jagannath Puri for practically 8 months. And every day, Raghunath Bhatta, who is known for his excellent cooking, used to cook and invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch prasad. And Mahaprabhu used to go practically every day to have prasad in the house of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So this is beautifully explained. But as this all being explained, Kaviraj Goswami brings this personality back again into the picture. Who is this personality? Is Ramdas Vishwas. So on one side, Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the abundance of mercy which was being showered on Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But there is no mention of what was the response of Mahaprabhu with Ramdas Vishwas till this point. But Kaviraj Goswami very nicely introduces this personality back into the picture. And he says that Ramadasa Yadi Prathama Prabhure Milila, that this Ramdas Vishwas, when he went along with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami to meet for the first time to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to see him. Ramadasa Yadi Prathama Prabhure Milila Mahaprabhur Adhikatare Kripana Korila. Mahaprabhu Adhikatare Kripana Korila. Mahaprabhu did not bestow his special mercy unto this personality called as Ramdas Vishwas. Now, the question comes, why? On one hand, we find so many qualities which every devotee, which every Vaishnava has to aspire and which we learn from our Vaishnava philosophy, which are the qualities which can take one back home, back to Godhead, which can place us in the eye of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which can make us the recipient of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But here is Ramdas Vishwas, who is Sarva Shastra Praveen, who is Veda Sarva, sorry, is that? Prakash Adhyapak. He is Param Vaishnav. He is Raghunath Upasak, who is Ashtaprahar, day and night is chanting the holy name, who has that ability, who has that propensity or that nature to serve the devotees, considering all humility, considering himself to the servant, and experiencing bliss in serving the Vaishnavas, then where is the fault? Is the fault, or is Mahaprabhu partial? Is Krishna partial that he is bestowing his mercy to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami because he is a son of his dear devotee Tapan Mishra? Is he coming from Brahmana family? Or is Mahaprabhu not showering his mercy to Ramdas Vishwas because he is coming from a Kayastha family? So many questions, so many doubts may come. And this is what people in today's world do. So many people, so many Varkaris, so many devotees of Lord Vittal were converted into atheists based on this one principle, giving so many references, so many stories from Shastras, some foolish rascals, some so-called leaders, claiming that what has this God, what has this Vittal, what has this Krishna given you for your, in exchange of your devotional service? He has simply given you poverty, simply given you misery, birth in low class, not allowing to enter them to the temple. So throw these gods away into the river, become atheists. And so many, practically so many Varkaris, till today, they have given up their Vaishnava culture, their devotion, and become atheists. So was Mahaprabhu like that? Because he's a Kayastha, no mercy to him. Was Lord partial? No. Lord was not partial. Then what is the reason? The reason is this. First, the first point you have to understand is all these qualities what Ramdas Vishwas was having and what we try to aspire for him in life, one should understand that these are simply supporters. They are the side pillars which are there to lift us, to keep us on that platform of pure devotional service. They are not all in all. And that is what people, you know, think. If someone can chant nicely, is a devotee, is good. That is a criterion. That yes, one should aspire for chanting day and night. One should aspire to serve the Vaishnavas. One should read all the Shastras. All that is perfect. But one should understand through this pastime at least that all those qualities are not the necessary factors for one to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore in this very Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Kaviraj Goswami had one in Madhya Leela. He makes one very powerful verse. Koti janma yadi kare nama sankirtan tabo na paibe taro Krishna prema dhan. If for hundreds and millions of lifetimes births one may spend in chanting the holy name, still that does not guarantee one to receive or become the recipient of Krishna prema dhan. Now why? That taking that verse into consideration and taking this pastime into consideration. Why? What is that factor that is a final? Like when you're cooking, when you make some sabji or something like that, you may add so many things to make that sabji very tasty. Like in our village, it is said that, you know, among all the spices are sitting and having a meeting. So among that, salt is sitting in one corner and salt is telling all the spices that sabko dal ke dekho aur mujhe dal ke dekho, you know. In Telugu, we have nice saying like that. Put all of you go inside that sabji and then see what that sabji tastes as, and then put me. Taste the sabji with, in my presence, or with my presence and without my presence. So all these things, all these qualities are like all the spices which may add. But no matter how best of the spices you may add in the add in that sabji, but if you forget to add that salt, like yesterday somehow there, myself and our few devotees were trying to eat Mahaprasad. So other devotees, they were eating salt-free diet. So I desired that I should also eat salt-free diet to taste it. But somehow sabji was short. And I said, okay, let me taste some Mahaprasad. So I went into a DT room to have some Rajbhog Prasad. Taking that, wow, nice chawliya, that leafy vegetable, Mahaprabhu's favorite sabji, and bhendi sabji. So as soon as I tasted the bhendi sabji, there was a little bit of salt. I said, wow, less salt, low salt diet. And then I tasted the shak sabji, no salt, salt-free diet. So when there is no salt, can you taste it? Is it relishable? No. So many things were put in that sabji. So many spices, coconut and this and that. But without the salt, that whole sabji is practically not acceptable. So all these qualities which Ramdas Vishwas had, they are like different spices. And the last snare of Maya is what? The last snare of Maya is that we try to develop these qualities, try to collect so many spices, failing to understand that even though you may not have so many spices, but if you can just have this one thing called as salt, just boil the sabji and add little salt, that is more relishable than a sabji having all the spices without a salt. Without a salt. It is not relishable. It is not acceptable. So what is that salt which Ramdas Vishwas was lacking? That bhoga of Ramdas Vishwas, why it was not acceptable by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Kaviraj Goswami explains in that verse. Only one verse, he completely clarifies the entire picture. And what is that? Antare mumukshe tenhu vidya garvavan sarvachitta gyata prabhu sarvagya bhagavan. That Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Sarvagya Bhagavan, who's Bhagavan and not ordinary Bhagavan, is Sarvagya Bhagavan. Sarvagya means one who knows everything and everything of this world. There is nothing that is unknown to him. And nor does he know something outside. Sarvachitta Gyata. He is the knower of consciousness of every devotee and every person. And what was the consciousness of this person called as Ramdas Vishwas? That is the salt which every devotee should try to aspire for. That salt of consciousness is most essential ingredient in trying to offer ourselves to the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for him to relish. What was that consciousness? The consciousness of Ramdas Vishwas, the purpose of all his devotional service, the purpose of all his devotional activities, even though externally calling himself to be the servant, externally experiencing the ullas in the heart, the jubilation of the heart. But what was the actual motto? The actual motto was, Antare Mumukshatenhu. Within the heart, he was trying to merge. The only goal of his life is to try to merge into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. This is what was completely against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Mahaprabhu could tolerate everything, but he could not tolerate the Mayavad philosophy. Anyone calling the Supreme Lord as impersonal, Mahaprabhu, that is a thing that agitates Mahaprabhu like anything. And therefore, it explained, Mayavada Bhashya Shunila Hoy Sarvanash. Simply what to speak of associating, if you hear from a distance, your whole spiritual life will be spoiled. And because he has inclination towards merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord, and he was proud, Vidya Garvavan. So we may have these qualities. We may be the best speaker, best of everything, best of Vaishnav, best of the chanters. But one should understand that all those qualities, our only aim should be that all those qualities which Krishna has somehow or the other bestowed upon us should get us to a platform of Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishnuna Amanena Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If all those qualities does not get us to that platform, then they are simply useless, like the spices in the sabji. They are of no use. Nobody will appreciate that sabji if this salt of consciousness of being Trinadapi Sunichena, of understanding that ultimately my only goal of my life is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the humble mood of servant of the servant of the servant. Whatever qualities Krishna is bestowing on me are just a means for me, for my purification, and to inspire others to engage in devotional service. Giving up the propensity of controllership, if we can develop the tendency of servitorship and help all the devotees, people may appreciate us, people may hear us. But if the mood, if the consciousness is, see, so many people are coming to hear me, I am such a good speaker, I am such a good, when I sing, so many people go into ecstasy. If that is the consciousness, then people may go into ecstasy, but you will not experience anything. You will not, all other people, those who are hearing your kirtan, they may get the mercy, but you will be the, practically, not even the last person to receive the mercy. But if the mood, if the consciousness is, some or the other Krishna is engaging me to inspire these devotees to relish Krishna consciousness through whatever qualities I have been bestowed upon, which were not there in me before, or even they were they in me before, even before becoming a devotee. They were there in me, but some or the other, now I'm dovetailing those propensities to serve Krishna. And this is the ways in which I can get purified. One has to understand this. All these qualities are just there for my purification, not that I will purify others. Only this mood can make us the recipient of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And only when we come to that mood, then our devotional service begins from that point onwards. Actual pure devotional service. Before that, our devotional service is tinged with so many material qualities. And if we don't rectify at this stage to understand, and if we don't work on our consciousness, then our condition becomes like Ramdas Vishwas. Two personalities going together. Raghunath Bhatta is going together and Ramdas Vishwas also. Both of them are approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here is one person who is receiving the embrace. Mahaprabhu is going to his house every day to eat prasad, bestowing best of choices of the mercy. And here, not even a speck or drop of mercy on this personality. Why? Because the Lord is there in everyone's heart. Sarva chitta gyata sarvagya bhagwan. This point one has to remember. That the Supreme Lord is sarva chitta gyata. He is the knower of everybody's consciousness. With what consciousness are we rendering our service? What is our motivation behind our service? What is the motivation behind every spiritual activity or devotional activity I am doing? We may be successful in trying to influence and impress so many people. But one has to understand that sarva chitta gyata, sarvagya bhagwan, who is there in our hearts, we cannot impress him by any things. The only thing that impresses him is that mood of servitorship, that mood of humility. And that will come only when we understand our insignificant position and perform each and every activity of our devotional service as a service to the Vaishnavas. Only from that point onwards, when you do for others, then that point onwards, the ego which is puffing up, gets gradually deflated. The air comes out and the balloon of ego completely becomes so insignificant. A balloon is so small, it does not come in the eyes of the people. But when that balloon is inflated, it becomes so big, and when it is raised, many times you see many advertisements, big balloons. So many people at so many distant seats, and we may feel, oh, such a big balloon. But what is that balloon? That balloon is simply air. Once one small pinprick comes, it becomes again insignificant. Punar mushtika bhava. Again like that. So therefore, the consciousness in which a devotee serves, a consciousness in which a devotee performs every activity of his devotional service, that is what matters. And therefore, even though we may come and gradually progress ahead, one should be careful from this last snare of Maya. Only when we are successful in overcoming that by deflating or blasting our balloon of our ego, then only we can become, or we can fall down, just like that balloon, when it deflated, it falls down, then only we can fall down from their highest position of material existence, which illusionary appears like that, we'll fall at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the only hope. Otherwise, so many things will come. People are there, every person is coming and to pump in the air of that balloon. But one has to understand that ultimately, that air is simply, if it is not controlled, one day that same air, the same people will be the cause of our destruction when that balloon will blast. And when we engage in devotional service with that mood, then as Kapil Muni, when he's explaining to Mother Devahuti in his instruction to her, then he says, only when a devotee engages in devotional service like that, when he's completely absorbed in thoughts of me and not desiring any benediction obtainable even in the higher planet systems, including Satyaloka, he does not desire for eightfold material perfections obtained by mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God, he enjoys, even in this life, all the benediction he enjoys. And then the biggest mercy of the Lord when devotional service is performed in the mood of humility is the Lord presents himself. The Lord says, my devotees, always they see my smiling face of my form with the eyes like the rising morning sun. They see my various transcendental forms which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. So here is Ramdas Vishwas not receiving any audience. But when the devotional service is performed with the consciousness of humility, the Lord himself comes to talk with his devotees and manifest his beautiful form before that devotee. So this is the glories of devotional service, which one achieves after many, many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanamante Gyanvan mam prapadyante vasudevam sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabham. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please forgive. I have spoken something beyond my realizations. This is only for my own self. Thank you very much for your kind patient hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.
For showing us.